Let's go.
3, 2, 1.
The Steve Cochran Show presents Breakfast with a Blackhawk, sponsored by MB Financial Bank. MB means business.
720 WGN, Steve Cochran Show. Joining us on the line, Patrick Sharp, longtime Blackhawk, now analyst. Patrick, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
So today is the trade deadline, and I'm always interested from a player's perspective. Do you think about these kind of things if you're a player on a squad on the day that the deadline's approaching?
It's something that definitely weighs over your head. Guys are in different boats, I would have to say. Like, I don't think a Jonathan Toews or a Patrick Kane lose too much sleep the day before the trade deadline, but it is something that you just never know, because teams get aggressive, teams get active. There's a lot of moves to be made leading up to the deadline, and especially the final hours and minutes. So some guys like to move, some guys like to stay. Every situation is different, but it's one where you keep your cell phone close, you make sure you're in touch with your agent, and you just never know what might happen.
Yeah, some guys have no trade clauses and can't be moved without their approval. Did you ever come close to getting dealt on deadline day?
Never with the Hawks, but when I was in Dallas for those 2 years, my final year in Dallas, we did not have a good team. I was expected to move at the deadline, but I got surgery on my hip instead, so I did not get traded. But it was a stressful time. You know, you never know what's around the corner. It's a big move. I know you're going to play some hockey, and the league takes care of you, but uprooting your family, and it's a difficult thing to do, and it's tough to leave your team that you're with, too. You spend all year with each other building towards a goal, and then all of a sudden pieces of that team start leaving one by one. But I was fortunate enough never to be traded on deadline. I did get traded in the offseason, though, once, and then early in my career, well before the deadline. So trades, it's part of the business, but I think it's part of being a professional as well.
The Blackhawks have a track record. Stan Bowman's got a track record of making deals at the deadline, and he's had success with that. And of course, this team now is sort of at a crossroads, I guess, after this weekend. I don't know how much of an impact the results the last two games will have, but what's your gut tell you, Patrick? Do you think that the Blackhawks are going to do something today?
I wouldn't be shocked if something happens. I don't think anything of major significance, and I don't think this weekend has much to do with what will go on. I think Stan and his staff has really done a good job already prior to the deadline of making some moves. Let's not forget what he's already done earlier in the season, acquiring Dylan Strome and Brendan Perlini in a 2-for-1 trade. Dylan Strome has gone on to have a point-per-game average since joining the team, and he's a 21-year-old kid. That's a pretty significant acquisition. I think Drake Cajula, who came over from the Edmonton Oilers, has fit in nicely. He's not making a whole lot of money, fits in perfect with Kane and Toews on that top line. And that might sound easier said than done to play with Kane and Toews, but a guy like Cajula's come in, I think of like a little bit of Andrew Shaw in Drake Cajula, where he gets to the front of the net. He's got that willingness to pay the price to score goals, and that's been a top line as well. And let's not forget about our starting goaltender, who's been out with an injury for a couple months now. If he manages to come back and play anytime around the deadline, that could be the biggest trade acquisition in the whole league, bringing back Corey Crawford and having him start a game. So if something happens with the Hawks, I expect it to be to improve the team, not only now, but going forward. There's a lot to be excited about in Hawks land these days. There's light at the end of the tunnel. You can start to see the vision of Stan and his staff. The team is going in the right direction, and I'm excited for what happens, not only down the stretch this year, but the off season and next season.
Yeah, Patrick, it's interesting, the psyche of this team, because you'll have, obviously the slow start, but then you had this torrid winning streak, and then a couple of games that don't go your way, and they were close, but then don't go your way this weekend. The up and down roller coaster effect, what's the mental price on players as they have to dig out of a hole like that?
Yeah, it's all part of it, to be honest with you, and it's about being professional. And whether it's a win or loss, you go to bed that day, wake up, and head into practice and get ready to play that next game. That really is the mindset. Something I learned in playoff hockey, to be honest with you, was learning how to ride that roller coaster. You know, you win a game in the playoffs, you feel like you're you got to plan your Stanley Cup parade, and then if you lose one, you feel like it's time to go golfing. And that's not a good way to play the game of hockey. I think even keel is the right approach. You just keep chugging forward. The next game is always the most important. Disappointing weekend, no question about it. Opportunity to maybe climb the standings in the Western Conference and really solidify that playoff spot. But honestly, if it was a 2-0 weekend versus an 0-2 weekend, it really isn't going to make a difference these next 6 weeks. The Blackhawks are still in the thick of things going forward. Big West Coast swing coming up, 2 or 3 games on the road. And again, the chance of Corey Crawford playing a game has to have those guys excited. But you know, managing that up and down roller coaster of emotions is all part of being a pro. And it doesn't get any harder on trade deadline day when you're looking at the internet and your cell phone to see who's moving where.
So, Patrick, I have watched the 2-10-2 podcast that you did with Duncan Keith. They did a ride from the United Center to Lakeview, where they live, and it's talking about how they both came from small towns, you know, Patrick from Thunder Bay, and then you played in Connecticut, so you're used to more suburban life, etc. And you told a funny story about when you first got here and going to get your wife a gift, and so I wondered if you could share it with everybody.
Yeah, that was, I don't know if it's a good story to share from my behalf. It's a little embarrassing. But I think it was December, mid-December. I got traded December 5th. So once I actually got settled after a couple weeks, it was Christmas time, and I realized I hadn't bought Abby a Christmas present. So I think I was going to get her a cell phone or something like that, the new cell phone that came out. So I found a store to buy it from. I got in the car, and I drove downtown from Lincoln Park, and realize that I'm not in suburban New Jersey or New England or small town Colorado. I got nowhere to park. So I drove around for about half an hour to an hour looking for a place to park. Eventually just drove back to the hotel and didn't even buy her a Christmas present because I didn't really know how to adjust to the city of Chicago and living downtown. So thank you for bringing that up. That's a nice way to start the week. Embarrassed myself. I adjusted nicely now to the city, and Chicago is home for both of us.
Well, we've all been there.
I think the other part of that was that, and they showed this clip yesterday at the United Center where you guys are talking about how you go from having deer and rabbits in the yard to having city rats, I believe was the term.
It's a big difference driving home late at night down some of those back alleys in downtown Chicago. Oh, yeah. I'm sure everyone listening has seen a few rats scamper across the...
Indeed.
They also made fun of, when they went through Roscoe Village, they made fun of, cause Seabrook was the first one to build a house there, and Duncan Keith said, you know, that's the worst spot ever. Why would you build a house there? But they said he was in on early on the real estate.
Early,
he
knew.
So, Patrick, we have the MB financial question from a listener, and this is an 8-year-old, Brooks Bennett from Lake Bluff. And this is what he asked, but we kind of had to adjust it. When I'm fortunate to win this contest, can I eat breakfast at your house, like Eggo waffles with syrup and whipped cream? So he's not going to be eating Eggo waffles with you, but what's your was your preferred breakfast as a player?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, we get so pampered as players, especially when you play for the Hawks. I would drive to the rink. This is one of the things I miss most about playing. Is I'd wake up, get in the car, have a coffee on the way to the rink, and as soon as I get there, I'd have a nice egg. I think it was a 3-egg omelet with whatever was in there, you name it. The chefs at the United Center would prepare it for us. It would be sitting there waiting. So just an omelet, you know, some nice protein, carbs, and fats to get the day going. But the days of having somebody cook the breakfast for me is long gone, but now it's me eating the same thing every day, but I got to take about 20 minutes to cook it myself.
So congratulations, Brooks. You win an autographed Chicago Blackhawks hockey puck courtesy of MB Financial Bank. MB means business. Go to WGMRadio.com/contest to submit your question for a chance to win.
Patrick Sharp, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me. Have a good day.
Thanks. You too.